on the agenda today, we have the Government Linked Data Working Group feedback. We have reverse term definition modifications, support for XSD short and other integer types, some changes from RDF, the API, and the candidate recommendation planning, and of course the discussion about RDF and JSON-LD alignment. Are there any other changes or updates to the agenda? Anything we should discuss today? Anything else, rather?
We should discuss the data type bug and the reverse properties issue.
Yeah, reverse properties was the second one, and the data type bug. Are you talking which bug are you talking about there?
We are not raising an error everywhere if a blank node is used as a data type. Just a second, that'll find the issue. Issue 257, this one here.
Yes, and Vikash, an update on the Google Summer of Code stuff. Okay, all right, those things are added. Let's start off with Vikash. Could you give us an update? Before we start, Nicholas, can you scribe today?
Sure.
Thanks. Okay, first up on the agenda is Vikash's Google Summer of Code update. Jason.
First of all, I would thank Marcus for helping me out a lot in every possible way. I am filing out the bug for the pull request for the index page. And after this, but finally, as Marcus said, it can be auto merged now. So I'll now move to the playground page and submit the pull request for that. And after that, I'll finish up the website this week.
Okay, great. Are you having any problems organizing the pull requests now after you and Dave had that discussion yesterday?
After that, I think when today I finally submitted the pull request and it, as said, it can be auto-merged. I don't think so if there is any problem because now before submitting the pull request, I've always pulled the upstream and keep my repository updated. Apart from that, now, as Marcus also suggested for the GitHub pages, which initially was done through Dropbox hosting it, so maybe I'll do both.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone, and whosoever has supported me and helped me, Marcus, Dave, and Greg, have especially done a lot yesterday.
Great, fantastic. Good. Good to know that everyone's helping you out and you're making good progress on that. Any other updates on the Google Summer of Code stuff before we move to the next topic?
I don't think so. For this week, it's pretty going good.
Okay, great. All right, next up is RDF issue 135. We have feedback from the Government Linked Data Working Group. Let me get a link to that. And I believe, Marcus, you've already reviewed most of the requests that they have made and provided feedback, maybe in the issue tracker, the JSON-LD issue tracker.
Yeah, just pasted the link in IRC. So basically, I fixed already all like the minor editorial issues, but some should be discussed, I think, before I make any change. And I created a to-do list in the issue tracker so we can see which ones I've already fixed and which ones I haven't.
Great, fantastic. Do you want to just go from the top down?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. Let's time block this at 10 minutes, just so that we get to the RDF JSON-LD alignment discussion. Okay, I'm at the top, abstract 0S1. How is JSON-LD related to RDF, and when is the JSON-LD a better choice for deploying linked data? Consider adding, but is not designed to compete with RDF rather than complement the shortcomings of RDF syntaxes when it comes to web-based programming, web development, and JSON-based data stores. I believe we are going to have a thorough discussion about this today, so let's not make a decision on this just yet.
It is an interesting data point, though.
It is, yes. Okay, any feedback on DRS1 before we move to the next one? Marcus, are there any particular ones on here that you feel we should really look at? Because there are quite a few of these.
I think most were about the same things that we already discussed. And hang on a sec. There was one S3. There's one which says about we should mention somewhere that the IRI is a URI, basically. Or is an extension of a URI, a generalization of a URI. We discussed that also already, but...
Yeah. Okay, so I thought the decision with IRI is we just use IRI, period.
Yeah.
We tried to switch to URL, and that got rejected by various people. And URI is just an uncomfortable in-between. And what we technically mean is IRI, at least today. Any other ones going down that list, Marcus? I put a link in the IRC.
One question whether we considered changing the two RDF algorithm to just drop data where blank nodes are used in positions that isn't allowed in RDF, so as graph names, for example. If that was considered as an alternative to using schemization, for example. But no, we didn't discuss that, and I think what we agreed on is that we expose all the data, and if someone doesn't want the data, it filters it at the layer above that API.
Yeah, dropping the data would could potentially negatively impact the way we use the API for the web payment stuff.
Yeah, and you can always drop that data later.
Right.
That would also negatively impact that as well.
It would negatively impact you?
Yeah, if we drop the data.
Okay. And Dave Booth is saying -1 dropping the data as well. Okay. Does anyone feel that we should not, that we should drop the data? Okay. So no.
No, we should just give instructions for what you can do to make it conform. And I think we already do that. I mean, if we need to elaborate, that's fine.
Okay.
Agreed.
The rest, I think, it's more productive if everybody has a quick look at the issue and then just comments on the issue tracker, I think. Because it's difficult to discuss that now without looking at the spec at the same time.
Okay.
But it's really more or less all of the feedback is editorial.
Are you saying all of it, or
all the remaining issues are more or less editorial.
Okay.
Except that dropping of the data, which I just said.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm just looking down the list. Okay. I mean, if everything else is more or less editorial, then we can discuss this on the issue tracker and come to some consensus there, and then resolve it on a later call. Does anyone disagree with that approach?
This is David. That sounds fine, I guess. I'm assuming that we'll have discussion about the proposal that I made for making that normative, making the schemalization normative.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Let's go ahead and jump into the RDF JSON-LD alignment discussion. in the hope that Sandro shows up in the next couple of minutes. Okay. Oops, sorry, go ahead.
I just wonder if issue 253, while we wait, is quickly resolved.
Reverse term definition modifications. Yeah, we can jump to that if you do think it's going to be easier to. Or
I think that will be fairly easy.
Okay. All right.
Did someone ping Sandro? Because I see him online on the other IRC channel.
He said that he was going to be a bit late today to the call. Before the call. Okay. Nicholas or Marcus, either one of you want to take the lead on discussing this topic?
I think Marcus understood this effectively what I meant, so if he wants to, I think he has a good summary.
Okay, sure. When we introduced reverse properties, we did that in kind of a minimal way and made it very simple by restricting some of the options. So, for example, we said that if a container is specified for such a property, it can just be at index, which precludes at set. And that becomes a bit problematic if you want to ensure that that your data is in a deterministic shape after compaction, for example. So you can't specify that it should always be an array, for example, by setting the container to at set. And the same is true for at type. It's currently this fixed to at ID, which obviously makes sense because the only valid value can be an IRI, but the side effect of fixing it to at ID is that node references, so nodes with just an identifier but no other properties, are collapsed to strings, whereas nodes with other properties remain JSON objects. And if we remove that implicit type coercion to at ID, we can control that via the context, so that also just node references remain objects, which makes the data then uniform and deterministic. I already looked what would need to be changed in the spec, and there are really just some minor steps that would have to be modified. Basically, for each of those two proposals, so to allow container at set and to remove that implicit type coercion, there are in total four steps in the algorithms to modify, apart from updating, of course, the grammar in the syntax spec. So I think we could treat that as a minor modification and call it a bug fix, because basically it is a bug fix, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, looking at the,
That's the link to the proposals and to the description of the spec changes that would be necessary.
So what you're proposing is do both Proposal 1 and Proposal 2, is that right?
Yes, we can, of course, also decide to just do one, but I think it would really make sense to do both because it just makes everything consistent with how other properties work.
Right. So in general, I'm very supportive of trying to align it with the way other properties work, just so that we don't surprise anyone.
If you would specify a reverse property and type coerce it to at ID, it would raise an error, which certainly would be surprising.
Wait, you're saying...
Currently, if you were to do that, yes, you would get an error, and that's unusual.
Okay, right. Have you thought about any of the downsides of this? I mean, are we just talking about alignment, or I mean, one of the downsides is that there's not this automatic type coercion anymore, right?
The only downside that I can see is that your context gets slightly bigger if you just use simple strings because for values of reverse properties, because you always have to specify a type at ID, which currently is implicit, but that's really the only thing.
And if you don't do that?
It would interpret it as a value, as a literal, and then throw an error because a value, a literal, can't be like the subject of a reverse property.
Any other thoughts from anyone else in the group on this, on these two particular proposals?
I have plus one to both of them.
As have I.
Yeah, and me. It's precisely what I wanted.
Okay.
And me too.
Anyone against either one of these proposals or making this change?
Should we put the proposals in IRC?
Let's see. So proposal one, let's do them one at a time. This is the first proposal, allow container set for reverse properties. And this proposal would specifically allow us to say always put these items in an array. Anyone else? Plus one, plus zero, minus one. All right, that's resolved. Next proposal is to remove type restriction for reverse properties.
It's just to clarify, it is an error if type is used with a value, any other value than ID.
It would not be treated as an error while you process the context, but later if you use that property.
Yeah, okay.
Do we want to put that in
that
the proposal or not?
That error handling is already in the spec, so I don't think we need to augment the proposal.
Do we have this feature marked as at risk in the spec?
Well, reverse properties were completely marked as risk, like the whole feature.
This is also based upon LC feedback, so we are responding specifically to feedback that was received during that period.
Right. I'm just wondering if I'm wondering what the argument for it not being substantive is. I mean, one of the arguments is it was marked as at risk and could change, so implementers should take a look at it. And then also, because of last call feedback, we modified it, and we view it more as a bug than anything else. It had some strange side effects the way it was written previously. And then on top of that, we're going through a candidate recommendation phase, so implementers are going to take a look at the feature again. So I think we're well covered for making an argument that this is not a very, you know, that this is a, this kind of change is allowed, and we should be able to proceed to candidate rec. All right, that's resolved. Anything else with this particular issue before we move on?
No, I think that's all.
Okay. Sandro is still not on the call. I think Sandro made a good proposal in on the mailing list, and I think that was the main reason we wanted him on the call, to see if he had any other ideas on that proposal. But hopefully he'll be able to jump in when we start doing proposals towards the end. So let's go ahead and talk about the RDF in JSON LD alignment issue. Whoever has their speaker turned up, there's a lot of feedback coming from your speakers. Great, thank you. Okay, so this we've had a number of RDF and JSON LD alignment discussions throughout the creation of the JSON LD specification, and they always tend to be fairly heated discussions, and we continuously try to find the right balance, but clearly, as evidenced by the discussion over the past couple of days on the RDF working group, there's still people that feel that we don't quite have the right balance. So I think it's important to understand that what we are going for here is a balance, and I think everyone's going to be unhappy in one way or another with the balance that we end up finding in the end. That said, I think it's most fruitful when we stick to proposals. Ideally, we want to stick to the technical nature of the proposals and not talk about how some people are trying to pull the wool over other people's eyes, or they're lying, or any of that stuff. So let's focus on proposals that. That we can, plus one, minus one, plus zero. So, David, I think you have a number of changes that you would like to see done to this spec. Some of them are editorial and have more to do with messaging. Others seem to be normative changes that may or may not already be in the document, and we may want to move those normative statements around. So maybe we can start with a bit of background, David, on the major concerns that you have right now. One of them is the redefinition of linked data. The other one is, I think, the normative. Stating normatively that there is a to RDF and from RDF conversion. Another one might be the alignment of the data models. So, David, would you mind just kind of outlining each one of those, and then we can kind of go from there?
Sure, and I would suggest that we focus on the redefinition of linked data sort of separately from the others, because, I mean, they are kind of separate issues.
Okay.
But anyway, just to kind of summarize... my concerns, well, I don't know, they should be pretty evident by now, I guess, but with respect to the redefinition of the term linked data, that term is a very important term in the semantic web community. It was, I just feel that it's very important to not redefine it. With respect to the normative stuff, yeah, based on my discussion at the Semtec meeting with Greg Kellogg, it sounds like the working group did intend that to be normative, but it just doesn't seem to be clear in reading the spec. So that sounds like it's more of an editorial thing for the most part. However, there is some normative stuff.
Which was intended to be normative and was not?
The mapping from the JSON LD syntax to the RDF model.
Oh, okay, yeah. It is normative.
That's my understanding from Greg, yeah. That isn't at all evident from reading the spec at the moment.
Reading the syntax spec, the base JSON LD spec.
Yeah, right, yep, yeah. Because, okay. I mean, for example, what I thought would have been the relevant section in that spec explicitly says that this is not normative. So that aspect sounds like it's an editorial issue, but there is a non-editorial issue as well, which has to do with the skolemization. So I was specifically suggesting, proposing that the skolemization be made normative, so that JSON LD is truly a concrete RDF syntax.
Okay.
So that's kind of summary
Okay, so there are three issues, is that right? One of them is the linked data redefinition. The second one is the relationship to the REF model that should be normative. And the third one is,
Skolemization.
Skolemization, thank you.
Actually, to state those a little better, the second and third, the second is the editorial stuff about the normative relationship between the JSON-LD syntax and the RDF model. And
okay.
The third is the normative, I don't know quite how to put it, the non-editorial, the substantive, yeah, the substantive changes needed to ensure that that is a proper normative relationship.
Okay.
Which is mostly around skolemization.
Okay. Is there any particular one you want to pick up first? Maybe the editorial one will be the easiest one to address?
Sure. You mean number two? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
sure.
Let's pick that one up. Okay, so the relationship to the RDF model in the syntax spec should be normative. I don't think anyone in the group disagrees with that. I'm trying to figure out. I thought we did make that normative.
I think the problem the syntax spec doesn't clearly reference the API spec and indicate that that's where the normative transformation is.
We tried to, as I recall, we tried to keep from having circular dependencies on the specifications.
Yeah, and I think we did that early on because we weren't sure if the API spec would proceed at the same rate that the syntax spec would, but it's doing that now. I think it is clean to just have them separated. I'm wondering if we can make a normative statement without making a normative reference?
Yeah, well, so I think David's wording that he provided yesterday, I think you can say that the mapping is provided normatively in this other spec. I think that's what he's saying. So the JSON-LD, the base spec, doesn't say what that mapping is, and doesn't say you have to do the thing that other spec says. So in that sense, it's not a normative reference. Uh-huh. But it informs you that the mapping is normatively defined in this other spec.
Right. It removes the confusion that people have when reading the syntax spec.
Okay. David, would that address your concern?
Yeah, that would. Because honestly, I mean, when I read it, it didn't sound to me like it was a normative thing. So...
Okay.
Yes, that would address.
I think this is the intent we have. And this would be made much more clearer if there's a conformance clause, which there ought to be, and I can't now remember if there is or not. But so you don't have to do any mapping to RDF to conform to JSON-LD. You just have to have the right syntax, I guess.
There is a conformance section,
yes,
section 4.
Right, and I did have a question about that conformance spec, which I that conformance statement, which I did not submit to the group, at least not yet, just because I didn't want to avoid, I didn't want to create more confusion. But the question was, is that conformance statement actually complete? Let's leave that aside for now. That's really a separate question.
Okay.
But I can submit that.
Okay. So I think
the other thing in here is that we have an informative reference to RDF 1.1 concepts rather than a normative. And now part of the reason for that is that we are on separate timelines and RDF 1.1 concepts is behind us, so we were worried about that slowing us down. But that also might be a little confusing.
Was it confusing to you, David? Like, I mean, if we put this reference in there, does it tie JSON-LD to RDF securely enough as far as your read on it goes?
Put this reference in there. So I'm not sure now.
The this reference means if you want to translate, you know, if you want to interpret slash convert slash translate to RDF, then here is the normative way to do it. If we make that statement in the spec, is that clear enough?
Oh, yeah, that is what's needed, I think, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
and then,
yes.
And then
just a clear pointer to saying that's the normative way to do it, yes.
Okay. And then we need to make a reference to RDF11 concepts in that case? Or does it matter if the reference to RDF11 concepts is informative?
Let's see. Can you point me to the exact spot in the spec? Because I
sure.
It didn't seem to me like it was needed.
Okay.
Specifically,
so if you
here is the link for the.
Go ahead.
For the revised wording that I suggested in response to Sandro's message.
Uh-huh.
It just says, here, I'll paste it in. Well, I mean, it says a bunch of other things as well, but on this part, it says, the normative algorithm for interpreting JSON-LD as RDF is specified in the JSON-LD processing algorithms and API specification. And gets the reference.
Yep.
So I think that for that part, I think that's all that's needed there. There are some other editorial things in that proposal as well.
Yep.
I would just quickly say, editorially, we probably want to say converting JSON-LD to RDF abstract syntax, like we do in the document, instead of saying interpreting it as RDF.
Yeah, I think that could be used in a number of places, because that sort of perpetuates this this idea that they're different when they're really not
right,
intended
it's a false
to be
dichotomy.
Considered. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would be fine with changing the terminology to convert to RDF model, but I actually think it would be a little clearer to say interpreting as RDF. And the other direction would be serializing as JSON-LD from RDF to JSON-LD.
Yeah, I mean, my concern is if you saw that in Turtle, it would seem odd, converting Turtle to RDF and RDF to Turtle or RDF XML for that matter, because that sort of gives the impression that they're really different things. It's like almost like it's a syntactic level difference, whereas I think the fact that RDF is really fundamentally a data model and not a serialization format is lost on the average person that even knows how to spell RDF.
One question is
right.
How
this is David. I don't know who was just speaking, but I'm agreeing with that.
That was Greg.
That was Greg.
Yeah.
Sandro, you had something to say, and let's just get this proposal in here because I think everyone agrees, at least on this one point.
I'm just observing that, like in Turtle and RDF XML, we can just say parsing to the abstract data model because with JSON-LD, parsing is a separate thing. So we're sort of in a bind of words there. We have to use some slightly different terminology than they can use in the other syntaxes.
Or converting to the abstract syntax model, maybe then.
Here's the proposal. I think everyone agrees that this would be a good something.
Can you read it, please?
The proposal is add the following normative text to the JSON-LD syntax specification. The text is, the normative algorithm for interpreting JSON as RDF is specified in the JSON-LD processing algorithms and API specification with an informative reference to that spec. Plus one, minus
yeah,
one.
I think that's good.
David, just to give you a bit of background about why we broke the two specs up like this, we wanted to put all of the most of the technical details of converting to and from RDF in the algorithms and API spec. I know that on the mailing list, Pat Hayes said that he doesn't believe that W3C specifications should be primers or should try and introduce the topic gently to their readers. But I think the editors of the JSON-LD syntax and API specs believe that the more clearly and simply you explain the technology to readers, the better the adoption rates are going to be. So part of that is trying to figure out where best to place the explanation of how to convert to and from RDF. And right now, that explanation is detailed in the algorithms and API specification, specifically because we think that the people that read that specification are going to be able to absorb the information and handle it, versus people that just want to kind of get an introduction to JSON-LD and just start using it in an afternoon. Does that make sense?
Yep. I'm fine with that. I think Pat did have a point that putting it in an appendix is, usually an appendix is material that you don't really need to read. That's why it's called an appendix. But
right, and I would argue that this is material that we don't feel that beginning JSON-LD users need to read.
Oh, that most people won't need to read.
Right.
Go
ahead.
So bottom line, yes, I'm fine with it. With this, I think with this word, I think this proposal is good. There's some other parts to the proposal that I made as well, but this one is great.
All right. Okay. So that's resolved. That's in the spec, or we'll put that in the spec as soon as possible. What's the next issue you wanted to discuss, David?
Okay. There are more parts of the editorial issue.
Okay.
So here I'll just paste it into IRC and read it. Oops, where's my keyboard? There you go. So the next one is in Section 1 in the introduction. This actually is moving the mention of RDF a little bit later. So for those who are concerned about mentioning RDF too soon, this should be a net benefit, I assume. Basically, let's see, it's deleting the sentence, developers that require any of the facilities listed above or need to serialize an RDF graph or data set in a JSON-based syntax will find JSON-LD of interest. Delete that sentence and instead add a bullet item to the existing bullet list that is later on in the introduction. And the bullet item would be, software developers who want to generate or consume linked data, an RDF graph or an RDF data set in a JSON syntax. The bullet list is a list of saying that the JSON-LD spec is intended for these kinds of people.
Right.
So it's just listing that as one of the kinds of people.
Right. I think a parallel proposal to that is Sandra's proposal, maybe.
Okay, where's
that? I'm trying to find Sandra's proposal. Sandra, do you have that?
I don't. I'm afraid I'm driving, but frankly, I prefer David's proposal.
You do prefer David's proposal?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, no, it's not a strong preference at all, but I like his proposal.
Okay. I just put yours in the IRC so that others could read it. Having a note in there that basically says that JSON-LD was designed to be compatible with semantic web technologies like RDF and Sparkle. People intending to use JSON-LD with RDF tools will find that it can be used as another RDF syntax like Turtle. Complete details on how JSON-LD relates to RDF are in Appendix C. I'd also be fine with putting that in the note towards the beginning of the spec. Does anyone else have any strong feelings on this?
I would prefer David Booth's because I feel like it does a better job of not driving a wedge between JSON-LD and RDF. It's a little more silent on the separation that is currently in the spec that people are complaining about.
Okay. Anyone else?
That's also why I like it.
Well, I do like part of what Sandra has in there. I think it does make it clear that the compatibility goes out to RDF, and it is the only mention of Sparkle. So it'd be nice if we could perhaps blend them, or maybe we can take part of Sandro's and put it someplace else in there outside of a bullet point, since it's more narrative.
Okay. So
yeah, maybe if we can get the general idea in there, but we definitely don't want to say that JSON-LD was designed to be compatible with RDF, because that immediately is going to make people think that they're two very different things. And you know, it's going to rehash all of the issues people have had before.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think we need to as I think the comments that we got back from the other working group said, there is confusion there, that these are alternative technologies, and I think we need to dispel that myth and make it clear that these are really this is an aspect of RDF in the sense that any other RDF serialization is. However, there are some specific advantages to having a syntax which is consistent with the best practices of using JSON.
Okay, so maybe the proposal then is to accept both David Booth's modification and figure out a way to reword what Sandro has said to make it crystal clear that these are not alternative technologies to one another. And maybe leave it up to the editors to figure out the exact wording that the editors would pass by David and Sandro.
Could we figure that formulation out now? I mean, I wrote at least, I don't know, 20 or 30 emails over the weekend, so I think it would definitely make sense to figure that out now, because...
So we don't keep going around on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, I actually really agreed with whatever Greg just said. If you can go back and sort of mention it again, you were talking about something related to idiomatic JSON being important and how JSON-LD was designed.
Yeah, well, I think that if we consider RDF and HTML, it pretty much allows you to write HTML documents using the best practice of HTML, but still have it be valid RDF. In the same sense, JSON-LD allows you to write idiomatic JSON, but have it be interpreted as RDF the same way.
Right. I think that's very important that go into the language. I think that's a good way of saying it.
Right, okay, so that's what Greg said. I put it in IRC, and I agree with that. Okay, so there are three pieces of text that we're talking about. I think we can just accept David Booth's modification as is. Does anyone disagree?
I just have a question regarding dropping the sentence from the introduction, because that was requested by David Booth, I think, and I don't know if we can just drop it now and replace it by an entry in the following section.
I think David has another, the first part of his thing was addressing the sort of the linked data definition. This is an aspect of the second point, as I understand it, that relates to the editorial changes.
I'm talking about two different Davids now. One is David Booth.
Yeah, you're talking about David Wood.
David Wood, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
So David Wood asked us to add that sentence, which currently is at the end of the introduction. So I'm not sure if we should just drop that without asking him if he's okay with that.
The sentence, which sentence is that?
Exactly the one that he said to delete, like developers that require any of the facilities, blah, blah, blah.
So the one that you've asked us to delete, David Booth, is the one that David Wood asked us to add several months ago. So
we can't
necessarily just delete it because...
Right, I see. I don't know the context of why he asked for that. My guess is that he was looking for the same, had the same objective.
I think he also wanted a reference in there to RDF concepts.
Mm-hmm.
So to make it simple, would it be okay for you if you leave that sentence in and just add the one to the bullet list?
Oh, sure. It's fine with me to leave it in, yeah. I was just trying to help out those who wanted, to delay the mention of RDF as long as possible.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Fine
so
with you.
The, okay.
Maybe we just want to put a. Yeah, I was going to say maybe we just want to put a reference to RDF concepts in the bullet point, and run it by David Wood. See if he'd be okay with
that. Probably be fine with that.
Yeah.
But if nobody particularly wants to get rid of that sentence, then the easiest thing is to leave it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can always do that. It's just a little bit redundant.
Yep. I think we're going to have to defer to the editors at some point here, because if we discuss every editorial change on this call, we're never going to get around to the skolemization or the linked data redefinition discussion. So there's a proposal in IRC that we're plus one-ing, minus one-ing, plus zeroing right now. Once we're done with that proposal, David, if you could, Booth, if you could focus on the most important editorial changes that you want to see made, and then maybe we can push the rest off to the mailing list or maybe even the issue tracker. That would be helpful.
Yep, sure. Here's, by the way, a proposed revision of Sandro's wording, which people also liked, and I like as well. I think later, somewhat later on in the document, should appear. I don't know exactly where, but it is nice wording, I think.
Could we put it in Appendix C? I know it refers to Appendix C, but
it looks like introductory text.
Okay. Could we put it in the notes, like one of those green notes?
Fine with me.
Okay. The one change that I might want in there is to basically say, make it clear to people that look, you do not need to understand RDF or Sparkle or Turtle or any of that stuff. So if those technologies are not of interest to you, you know, don't worry about this note. But if those technologies are of interest to you, know that JSON-LD is compatible or works with those technologies.
Or was designed to work with. We can just say it's designed to work with them.
Right.
Or it's designed to be to effectively what the text says here. So you can say your lead in there, Manu, and then follow up with the text David Booth has put in RC.
David, would that be okay with you?
Yeah. Yep. Sure. Yep. I was just trying to do some wordsmithing as we're talking here.
Okay. So proposal.
So here's another rewording. If anybody wants another rewording. This wording says, JSON-LD was designed to be usable directly as JSON with no knowledge of RDF, but was designed also to be usable as RDF if desired for use with other semantic web technologies like Sparkle.
Right.
People intending to use JSON-LD with RDF tools will find it used as another RDF syntax like Turtle. Complete details of how JSON-LD relates to RDF are in Appendix C. That could probably use a little fine-tuning, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to retroactively make that into a proposal. Give us a minute.
Yeah, it could be in design goals, too.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I think that would be a very good place to put it.
Yeah, it's fine with me.
Okay. All right, so... resolved. It's one of the longest resolutions we've made. Okay, let's jump into skolemization since we're at 10:50. Are there any other editorial changes that you feel are very important?
Yes. There's just miscellaneous, like lots of little editorial changes about. Let me paste this in. About not implying that JSON-LD is not RDF. So
right. These
are things like where it says converting JSON-LD to RDF should be either interpreting JSON-LD as RDF or maybe converting a JSON-LD model to an RDF model or something along those lines.
Right. I'm fine with interpreting. I know Sandro pointed out that you know, he seems, feels that these, you know, editorial issues are more or less harmless. I think that the group is more aligned with the messaging that you want to do, David, than was apparent on the mailing list. I think that's the reason I say it's apparent is because there are a lot of plus ones to all of these proposals that you're making. So perhaps we can take that discussion back to the mailing list or offline and have the editors make those changes. I think they're fairly harmless changes to the document. I don't think there's anything controversial there, and so
I would be fine with a proposal that is just kind of saying that the editors should make this kind of change, and then let the editors do it. Let the editors do it.
Okay, so the editors will attempt to. We're trying to make it clear that RDF is or JSON-LD and RDF are not incompatible, or they're not two different things. I'm trying to think of a way to word that. If anyone has a proposal, some proposal.
Yeah, things. Here. I've got it right here.
The other thing to reinforce is that RDF is. The RDF is an abstract syntax, and JSON-LD is a concrete syntax.
Yeah. That's exactly the distinction, yeah. So here's the proposal, to make other editorial changes as needed to avoid implying that JSON-LD is not necessarily RDF.
Okay.
I guess we could say it differently, but that's the intent. It's just, yeah.
So that's a proposal, plus one.
Okay. All right. So hopefully that addresses all of the.
Almost. There's one more I'll put in. There it is. It's pretty simple. It's at the beginning of Appendix C. Just insert a couple sentences that say, JSON-LD is a concrete RDF syntax as described in RDF 1.1 concepts.
So
hence, a JSON-LD document is both an RDF document and a JSON document, and correspondingly represents both an instance of the RDF model and an instance of the JSON-LD model.
Right. So I think we had text in there previously that said that, and we were asked to remove it from the RDF working group, specifically because of the JSON native types in the blank nodes as predicates and blank nodes as graph names issues. So we
So this is tied into that normative change then.
Yeah.
So maybe this editorial change needs to wait to
tell
we.
Well, I don't know if we're going to be able to make that statement ever because there are people in the RDF working group that, I mean, Richard being one of them, and I think maybe Pat being another, that disagreed that it's fully. You know, it's a fully concrete RDF syntax. Basically, you can do things in JSON-LD that you can't do in the RDF. RDF 1.1 concepts, specifically just those four bullet points that are in Appendix C. And so since there are those differences, we had text like this in the spec before to outline that, you know, the intention is that, you know, it is a concrete RDF syntax because you can do everything in JSON-LD that you can in RDF plus a few things. But to say that, you know, it's a one-to-one mapping, or to imply that it's a one-to-one mapping between RDF concepts and RDF 1.1 concepts and the JSON-LD data model is not quite accurate, if that makes sense.
Can we say JSON-LD can be interpreted as a concrete? Go ahead.
No, the whole point of the substantive change that I was proposing, though, was to fully align them. Was to eliminate those differences.
Well, there are some differences that are not part of the RDF transformation. For instance, the index capability that allows you to manipulate data within the JSON space and the algorithms deal with that do not survive round tripping to RDF. So
yeah, that doesn't matter. I mean, mean, neither does the JSON-LD syntax survive round-tripping. That's okay.
Yeah, I think that's, that for some people, the ability to sort of have indexed values is would be considered part of the JSON-LD data model, even though there is no such concept in RDF.
And even if we didn't have that feature, there is the native lists and native numbers issue, right? The RDF 1.1 concepts doesn't have the concept of a native number, and it doesn't have the concept of a native list. And that's, you know, that is a, it's just a, it's a difference between the two data models, because JSON just natively has that and RDF does not.
So yes, I understand that.
Numbers I see, but I don't know if I would say that about lists. I mean, Turtle has, you could consider what Turtle's representation is a native list, but it definitely, it there's a one-to-one correspondence with an RDF list, and the same's true for JSON-LD.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're trying to say, David, is that there's a one-way mapping from RDF 1.1 concepts to JSON-LD. So we can say something that's to the effect of JSON-LD can represent RDF 1.1 concepts no problems, right? It's when you go back the other way that we have issues. And I don't think just having the skeletonization change is going to change that. You'd need to have the change to skeletonization. You'd need to support some kind of native numbers type in RDF 1.1 concepts. You'd need to support some kind of native list type in RDF 1.1 concepts, or figure out some way to, you know, do the translation losslessly.
I mean, I think that those are just features that you get from the JSON-LD syntax. And I mean, if you use something in its syntactic form, you get different features than you use if you are going to the abstract syntax. You know, you get artifacts of the syntactic form. I don't see that as a problem.
Okay. I mean, others in the RDF working group did. That's a concern I have. It's not that you don't see a problem with it. I don't see a problem with it either. It's that other people in the RDF working group had issues with it. I'm trying to remember what the arguments were.
You know, I think the fact that we've pretty much decided to change the mapping to native data types to be an option in the RDF conversion means that in the standard case, the transformations back and forth are totally lossless. There is an option to transform numbers when you're going through RDF, and I think we've also discussed sort of being able to wrap that so that as a JSON developer, you can convert the sort of the string format of numbers into native versions to use locally. Uh-huh. But I don't think that really... I think the fact that the standard conversions now are completely lossless sort of takes the air out of that.
Well, the one change that I saw that I think needed to be made, this is David Booth, is the skolemization, is making that normative.
Yeah, sure.
There's another issue with that, in that I don't think the skolemization thing's actually going to fix the real issue. It has to do with the normalization, RDF graph normalization. But I was leaving that discussion to the skolemization discussion. Does anyone think one way or the other that we should put a statement in there about saying that JSON-LD is a concrete RDF syntax?
I think that's more useful than harmful.
Yeah, I think so.
Just causes another round of discussions that will never end. I mean, it's clear that it's the same, but we don't have to put it like the way it is put in that proposal, I think.
We're talking about in Appendix C,
yes,
all the way down
I
in
understand.
Appendix
C. Yeah.
Sandro was starting to say something.
Manu already said some people complained about that before, so...
I think they complained
because it wasn't true at the time, and they were kind of vehement in their complaint because they were frustrated with the fact that it wasn't true. I mean, everyone in the RDF working group hates the fact that JSON-LD is different from RDF. So then when you go ahead and say it is the same, that's like adding insult to injury. But if we can patch up the injury, which it sounds like we've basically just about done, give or take the skullinization thing, then I think everybody would be happy to have this text there.
So, Marcus, one thing that we could do is we could add this back into the spec, make the statement, and then see if there's any backlash from the RDF working group. I think there's a point here, though, that we have to stop we have to stop thrashing back and forth between, you know, these types of statements and just call it done. I mean, the thing is that none of this is actually changing any technical implementation. It's all messaging, and unfortunately, what the type of messaging that each person reviewing the spec wants is slightly different and slightly in conflict with one another. So I have a feeling that if we put this spec text in there, Kingsley's going to have a big problem with it, and he's going to start objecting, right? And so we're just going to go back and forth on that stuff. And if it's not Kingsley, it's going to be Pat. If it's not Pat, it's going to be someone else. So I'm fine with trying to put this spec text in there and seeing what the RDF working group says, but the number of opinions in the RDF working group are so varied that it's impossible to make everyone happy. And I think we've been doing a fairly good job of trying to walk the line, but the spec is starting to look kind of garbled because we've been doing that. It's got bits and pieces of these statements, you know, throughout the spec now that it's not a very clean read because of it. So I think we can do what we can put David Booth's spec text in there, but I'm getting increasingly concerned that these changes that we're making aren't actually getting people to, it's not going to have any kind of positive effect on getting people actually using the technology. It's an internal community argument. Doesn't really impact how people use the technology. And the amount of time we're spending on it, I feel, is harming the amount of time that we should be spending writing applications and making this stuff useful to people outside of this community who are the people that we're trying to get to use the technology in the first place. Anyway, sorry, that was a bit ranty. David, do you want this spec text in there, and then we'll see what the rest of the
RDF. I think it's helpful. My understanding is that it reflects the actual intent of the working group, and it just makes it clearer.
It does. It does make it clearer. It's whether or not the RDF working group is going to agree with that or not. That's the problem. That's our intent, but other people in the RDF working group disagree that that should be our intent in the first place.
Everybody agrees that's our intent. It's a question of whether we can achieve it. So if we can achieve it, then I think this text will be okay. So now we have to see whether we can achieve it.
Okay.
Yep. It seems Kingsley would agree according to what Marcus pasted in, unless I'm too tired.
All right. Add spec text to JSON-LD syntax, Appendix C. JSON-LD is a concrete RDF syntax as described in RDF 1.1 concepts. And so JSON-LD document is... I'm just copying this text in there. Okay, and there's the proposal. Proposals in IRC +1, -1, +0.
Though, in some ways you might ask if this would be true if we were talking about RDFA, and I suppose it wouldn't be true.
That's a kind of a more complex discussion.
Yes,
why wouldn't
but
it be true, just as a quick...
Well, I guess it would be true, but there is an implied and something more. It's, I mean, a JSON-LE document, as is an RDFA document, is an RDF document and more, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have to make all of these statements in the RDFA specification because I feel the title of the document was RDFA, so it was fairly clear to people what it was.
Then again, I suppose you could say that about RDF XML as well, because, you know, there is ordering of the elements and the text nodes and so forth, so I'm still a plus one then.
Okay. Any other straw poll?
Can you record me as a plus one, please?
Yeah. Okay, resolved. David, any other editorial?
That's it for those editorial things, yeah.
Okay, and then we've got the stolenization discussion next. Is that correct?
Yeah.
We also have the link that what do you want to do about the link data one?
Did you want to do that last, or do you want to do that before the skolemization one?
Let's do skolemization.
Okay. Skolemization of, and this is specifically skolemization of blank nodes as graph identifiers and predicates, right?
Right.
It might be covered though as perhaps as a last step of the conversion algorithm to convert any blank nodes to scolem IDs using some prescribed namespace, if those blank nodes would be illegal in the RDF abstract syntax.
Yes, that's the exact intent of this proposal here that I just pasted into IRC. Which I'll read. In the RDF conversion algorithms in the JSON-LD 1.1.0 processing algorithms and API spec, specify that when JSON-LD is interpreted as RDF, i.e. when the JSON-LD model is converted to the RDF model, scolem IRIs must be generated using the well-known IRI suffix JSON-LD GenID. That could probably change, but for any JSON-LD blank node that would otherwise be mapped to an RDF blank node in a position where an RDF blank node is not permitted. Conversely, when RDF is serialized as JSON-LD or when an RDF model is converted to a JSON model, a JSON-LD model, scolem IRIs having the well-known IRI suffix of JSON-LD GenID should be serialized as JSON-LD blank nodes. Finally, register the well-known URI suffix JSON-LD GenID in accordance with RFC 5785. This could be, there was some discussion with Sandro on the list about both about the name of that proposed well-known URI suffix. Sandro suggested using a different name for it, which I'm totally fine with a different name. And he also noted that some sense it isn't really necessary to use a different name. We could just use the existing name GenID, which was created by the RDF working group for blank nodes. And that would work also. It just makes it a little bit more complicated for processors, such as streaming processors, that just want to be able to blindly convert these things back to blank nodes. It would force them to actually have to look at the context of it to see if it is legal to do so. So that would be simpler if they do have two different names.
I don't
consider that a real big deal.
So I don't think it's ever illegal in any context to not... I think it's always legal to convert... It's actually legal to convert any IRI to a blank node, but it's particularly okay to convert scolem IRIs to a blank node. I think if you want to do that, you can do that. There's, I mean, it's lossy to do that, but...
Well, no, you're not allowed to in predicate position.
Okay, well, obviously, I mean, you're allowed to do it if it's legal in whatever model or syntax you're doing the conversion in.
Yeah, that's
so
what I mean.
You don't need to do it.
Yeah.
And that's no work. I mean, you always, you know when you're emitting a predicate.
Yeah, you do. It's just it isn't a lot more work. It just means that you have to check. You can't do something similar to like a sed script or whatever. You actually have to look: is this in the predicate position or is this in the graph position? To decide
whether
it's allowed.
Well, you just move the complexity around. You just don't eliminate it. You just move it around.
Yeah, I think it's much better to just use normal gen IDs and not create a new gen ID space. One of the things that occurred to me while you were talking is that we should probably allocate like some w3.org space for people who don't have a domain name they can use when they're doing this skolemization, like they're running in a web browser. That's something we hadn't thought about in GenIP before.
I think, though, that in this case, we probably don't want to make that an option. We probably should say that when you are converting blank node identifiers to, or blank nodes to Skolem IDs as part of this algorithm, you must use the domain, the W3C domain. That way, it's interoperable. There's no question that what the intent is.
Actually, I think that's the opposite is true, because then you will end up having heaps of clashing vnode IDs, for example.
Well, I think that gets down into some way to specify the actual ID, and that might be done, you know, with some hashing algorithm that.
No, we're right into the RDF graph normalization problem now. We're right in the middle of that. This does not seem to be a solution, because every time we try and attempt to solve this problem, this is a decentralized identification generation problem. We can't use the W3C, you know, ID space for it. We always end up at RDF graph normalization, which, as we know, is an incredibly compute intensive thing to do. So this is why I was somewhat skeptical of this idea that we generate Skolem IDs for these blank node graph and predicate blank node. Blank nodes, because every time we try and do this, we have a discussion about how they can be Skolem IDs, and then somebody says, oh, well, actually, no, this is a decentralized identity, you know, identifier generation problem, and then the second we hit that, the very next step is RDF graph normalization. That's the only potential solution to doing this correctly, and we don't even have, you know, we have an algorithm for that, but it's not a node. So us saying that we're going to come up with some sort of magic algorithm to do this is problematic, because we haven't been able to do that in a simple way yet, right? So we might be able to sidestep this problem by saying, hey, if you want to generate, you know, if you want to convert to RDF and if you want to generate your own IDs, we'll give you a callback to do that, right? Maybe the to RDF algorithm has a callback that will generate Skolem IDs if you really want to do that. But we're doing that knowing full and well that Skolem IDs are not a solution to this problem. They're just not. David, I don't know if have you dealt with the RDF graph normalization problem before when generating Skolem
identifiers? I don't know what you're referring to, but some of the assertions you're making are factually wrong. This is a solved problem, and this is the whole point of the well-known suffixes, is to solve this problem.
If you have control of the URI space for those well-known suffixes, I kind of agree with you. So in that case, we can't say that there's a particular URI space for this. in the specification, maybe what we want to do is provide Correct. Some kind of callback mechanism to say, look, if you want to generate a, you know, it's completely up to you. If you want to leave them as blank nodes and your system understands blank node graph identifiers and blank node predicates, then that's fine. You know, use them as is. But if your system doesn't understand that, or you need to translate to a system that doesn't understand that, then provide a callback that will generate, you know, a unique Scolem ID that's, you know, specific to your system, and just have that be the end of it. We don't specify an algorithm. We say there's a callback, and you're in control of the callback and how the identifier is generated. Do you think that would be an
Right.
approach that would work for you, David?
Yes, if you're saying that it should be left up to the implementer for how they create that IRI,
right.
as long as it has that well-known suffix, then that's all that needs to be said.
Does it have to have that well-known suffix?
Yes, it has to have that so that it is recognizable, so that it is predictably recognizable. But beyond that, how they do it doesn't matter at all. And the spec shouldn't say how they do it. I mean, the spec should not constrain how they do it. It should allow them to do it however they want.
I'm a bit confused now, but isn't that what we are currently saying in the spec?
We don't have a callback to generate the identifier in the current.
It's not an API. It's an algorithm.
Well, it's not an API, so there is no callback. But we say that the result contains blank nodes in positions which are not permitted in RDF, and that an implementation should replace them with IRIs, with Scolem IRIs. It's in the feature market, but the text is basically there.
So the point of my substantive proposal here is to say that they must replace them with Scolemized IRIs using a well-known URI suffix. And when I say well-known URI suffix, I'm referring to RFC 5785.
So even if your system is able to handle those blank nodes, you have to replace them with IRIs.
There's no such thing as a system as an RDF data model that has blank nodes in a predicate position. That is not RDF. It is. The RDF model does not permit blank nodes in the predicate position.
Yeah, which is a shortcoming of the RDF data model.
And it's fine with me if it changes. The point is just to have, you know, strict alignment.
Yeah,
what does that buy us?
But you have all the data, and if you put that data into another system, we say how you can do that if you use an off-the-shelf RDF system which requires IRIs. In that case, you
okay,
have to
so what that,
your IRIs. And otherwise,
yeah,
if
what
you
that
do,
buys us is it buys predictability. It means that you know that if one person takes your JSON-LD, puts it into RDF, and then, for example, serializes that as turtle, and another person does the same thing, then they will get that both parties will get essentially the same set of triples. Now, the exact Scolemized IRIs may be different, but except for that difference, they will be the same set of triples.
The way of saying everything is actually a blank node, but we're just kidding. It's a Scolem ID. The way of serializing the things that actually are meant to be blank nodes, so you continue to know that they're blank nodes, even though for whatever reason we're forcing them to be IRIs.
That's right. The term blank node is a little confusing because there are two kinds of blank nodes we're discussing here. There are JSON-LD blank nodes. Those are blank nodes in the JSON-LD model, and there are RDF blank nodes. Those are blank nodes in the RDF model. So when a JSON-LD blank node is converted into an RDF blank node, in some cases that conversion is allowed, and in some cases it's not allowed. When it's not allowed, it needs to be converted into a Scolem or IRI.
But
or
in places where it is allowed and in places where it isn't allowed at the same time.
I didn't hear that question.
So you can use it in, for example, the object position and the and, I don't know, the graph label position at the same time. So what do you do in that case then?
If it is going to appear in a predicate position, then it's not allowed in the RDF model, and so it must be converted.
Even though it would be allowed in the object position, and it is used there as well.
Right, because otherwise the data won't be linked up, won't be connected up.
Right. So why do you draw the line then? I mean, you have to check.
Would that
cause
a problem in interpreting the data?
In Marcus's example, it probably wouldn't, because unfortunately the graph label does not denote the graph, and so you can't really say that the blank node used as an object is the same as the blank node used as a label, although I think that's really unfortunate, and I think in this case we probably would want to convert all of the uses of that blank node identifier to a Scolem ID. If anything required that to be converted.
Then just use subject and predicate position. That's the same issue.
Subject and predicate position, there's nothing that would require you to do such a transformation, so they can be kept as blank node identifiers.
No, predicates are blank. Predicates are not allowed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so subject and predicate condition, yes, those do then. Well, it's not clear they denote the same thing because it's not part of the model, but... I think the typical assumption would be that they would, in which case, I think the dictum is that if a blank node identifier needs to be converted to a Scolem ID because of the alignment of the data models, then all instances of the blank node identifier need to be converted to the same Scolem ID.
Right. Yeah, you always have to change all instances or no instances of the same identifier.
Okay. Yeah, but then the separation in different URI spaces doesn't make any sense, in my opinion. Because in one case, it gets put into that bucket, and in the other instance, it gets put in the other bucket.
Well, implementations are... The implementations could convert all blank node identifiers to Scolem IDs.
Yep.
I think that's allowed now in RDF.
Yep, it is.
That's sort of the whole point.
Are you always supposed to be able to tell that a Scolem ID is a blank node?
Yeah, that's what it
desirable.
Means.
Well, I realize it's desirable. I was wondering if in current practice is that the case now, or does the spec require that, the RDF spec?
I don't believe that the RDF spec requires it. It may be a should. I will take a quick check. Oh.
Is Sandra still online?
Yeah.
Actually, it's a may. It's a should. It is a should. In answer to your question, it says, systems that want Scolem IDs to be recognizable outside of the system boundaries should use a well-known IRI with a registered name of Gen ID.
But, I mean, just because it is an IRI, it is represented by an IRI, it is still a blank node, and RDF, the abstract model, doesn't allow blank nodes in that position. That's just a hack around some implementation shortcomings. But
the RDF model distinguishes between IRIs and blank nodes. Blank nodes are different things in the RDF model than IRIs. And
I
so the whole
Marcus
point
is,
of
I think what Marcus
the whole
is
point of
this is just a hack. Right? It's just a hack to make it conform to the RDF data model when it's just we all know it's a blank node. It's just a hack to get around some of the, you know, it's kind of like language lawyering, right? So we know exactly what's going on, but we're making this, you know, we're bending over backwards to try and make it fit into what the RDF model is when we all know well outside the RDF model anyway.
It's an IRI that has a micro syntax that indicates it's actually a blank node.
Right. And the whole reason we're doing that is because people are using blank nodes in those positions. It's a shortcoming on the RDF data model. So I agree technically with you, David, I agree technically with you, but I mean, the whole point is people are using blank nodes in these positions. It's not JSON-LD that's broken, it's RDF that's broken.
Yep, I agree. That's exactly what it is. It's a hack to make it work around a shortcoming in the RDF model. That's right. But it's a shortcoming that we're stuck with. You know, we can't get rid of, at this point, we can't get rid of blank nodes in RDF, from RDF.
Is there any language that we can come up with that does not absolutely require us to use Scolem IDs as the last step of this algorithm? Is there some language that can allow us to avoid that, especially if RDF is repaired in the future?
Well, let me ask you, what is now the context of this is that this is only for cases where someone is interpreting JSON-LD as RDF. So in other words, they want to interpret it as RDF. They've made that choice. So I'm wondering, what is the problem that you see in Scolemizing them, given that they have made the choice to interpret the document as RDF?
So one use case has to do with RDF graph normalization. It would be nice if you wanted to compare two graphs, it wouldn't matter what syntax you were coming from. You could just use RDF graph normalization to actually compare them and to canonically assign blank node identifiers. So we would like to be able to use the same thing with JSON-LD. So if two people went off and fetched two JSON-LD, they each fetched a JSON-LD document from the same location, they could compare those documents with each other, and they would produce the same identifiers for all blank node locations. And this has to do with graph normalization. If we're going to force people to generate Scolem IDs, then the RDF graph normalization algorithm is going to have to be aware of all well-known suffixes that are used for Scolem IDs and know to interpret them as actually being blank nodes. Or some decision is going to have to be made as to whether or not Scolem IDs should be considered blank nodes in that algorithm or not. And it injects a lot of complexity into this problem instead of just saying, we know these things are blank nodes, and we just treat blank nodes differently from IRIs, versus there's this extra set of IRIs that are actually blank nodes.
Yeah, that's correct that the normalization algorithm will need to know about the well-known IRI suffixes. But that is the purpose of using the well-known IRI suffixes, is that it makes them easy to recognize.
That's the first thing you've said, David, that I disagree with.
Did I get it wrong?
Not everybody who would necessarily agree on this, but it seems to me, I mean, I guess a gen ID is not a blank node. It used to be a blank node. It takes the place of a blank node. You can generally turn it back into a blank node, but it is not actually a blank node.
Right,
I
have with it.
Right, it's terribly useful. It seems like we need it. So it's complex and annoying, but better than all the alternatives is how it looks to me. So for normalization, you probably want to de-scolemize before you normalize, you know, turn them back into blank nodes. But if you don't, then you don't. So now normalization doesn't have to know about gen IDs, but when you're using normalization, you have to whenever gen IDs are around, you have to decide whether to get rid of them or not. And that's sort of on system boundaries. I suggest, in general, you get rid of gen IDs whenever you can, but you use them whenever you have to. That's how I see it.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're at the bottom of the hour. We're at the 90-minute mark. We can certainly have a couple of closing statements, but I think we're going to have to wrap the conversation up and then continue it next week. So anyone have any closing thoughts?
Well, yeah, this is David Booth. So I would summarize by saying that the well-known IRI suffixes would need to be recognized, or unless you pre-removed them, as Sandra just suggested, which would also require recognizing them. But the whole point of using the well-known suffix is that it makes them predictably and very easily recognizable. And yes, it is a hack to work around a shortcoming in the RDF model, but it is a shortcoming that is nowhere near going away. So I think that we have to deal with it. So this is just a proposal.
Is it safe to assume that everyone that has used Gen IDs would be okay with their data being with that data being interpreted as a blank node? Is that a safe assumption to make?
I think so. Otherwise, I think they'd use some other well-known scheme. But that is the purpose of that well-known scheme.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Otherwise, they're misusing it.
This might be something we need to throw back to the RDF working group. In fact, it's really sort of an issue in RDF concepts about the text. So maybe we should go read the text about GenID there and see whether it really says what we needed to say here. And if not, we should push back on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so should this proposal... So I'm wondering if this proposal...
When the RDF working group came up with this, there weren't a lot of use cases. It was just sort of a general sense that this is probably useful, so that the text is not terribly fleshed out because of that.
So should we postpone deciding about this proposal to more discussion and maybe discussion with the RDF working group? I don't know of a litmus test as to whether people feel like it needs more discussion or not.
I would be a minus one on the proposal right now, just because I don't feel like we have a firm grasp on all of the side effects of this decision. We need to think about this a bit
more. Discussion.
Yep.
Okay, so let's postpone that for more discussion then.
Okay, all right. So I don't know if you'll be able to join us next week for the telecon, David, but we're certainly going
to
continue. Okay, all right. And thank you for joining us and having a chat on the phone about this. I feel like we've made a lot more progress in this, you know, for the last 90 minutes than we did over the past couple of days on the mailing list.
You're welcome.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, David.
No problem.
Thanks.
Anything else that we should be aware of before the call next week?
Just because this is the first time that I've had to talk about it since SEMTEC, I think virtually every presentation I went to at SEMTEC mentioned JSON-LD. It was broadly discussed, and I had several people come up to me and really say how much they appreciated the work that this group's done.
Great. Cool.
So is the plan to discuss the redefinition of linked data next week, or what's the...
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll pick up schematization next week and then the linked data discussion if we get through schematization.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Again, thank you all
thanks.
Very much. This is David Booth. Thank you very much for inviting me.
No problem. Thanks. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
And thanks, everyone.
Thank
have a good week, and we'll chat next week. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Yeah.
Thanks. All. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.